Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Paul, the one with the deep voice, manly.
Oh, mine's not manly. I'm Stephen.
You're from Texas.
Welcome to Living Villa Capelli.
Welcome, benvenuti, as we say here in Italy.
Yes, we turned off the fans again for you guys, more dedication, although it's not quite as hot as it has been.
Not even close.
Yeah, it's cooled off a lot, so that's a good thing.
Because in August here, it's always been a belief that after the first week of August, or maybe about the 15th of August, you start wearing half sleeves. No longer short sleeve shirts, but half sleeves or three quarters sleeves. Because it gets a little chilly compared to the 120 degrees it was for the past month.
Yes, gosh forbid.
Yeah, so now it's like 85 and it's chilly.
Yes. But August also brings our theme of this episode, which is an amazing festival you guys have to see to believe that Tolizzi has every year. Does it the same date every year?
No.
They changed it. Oh.
Well,
it's always a weekend, right? Okay.
It's a little complicated, like most things in Italy. You kind of have to go with the flow. It's usually the first weekend in August. But if the first weekend falls on the first, second, third, or fourth of the month, then it's the second weekend of August. And it's not a festival, Stephen. It's a feast.
A feast.
In Christendom, we have feast days, not festival days. What do you think this is, the Middle Ages?
What's the difference?
There's a big difference.
Okay.
It's a feast. It's not a festival is like a carnival. This is like solemn.
Yeah, okay.
But they do have rides and stuff.
It's a festival to me. All right, look. So we're going to start with the story of this. Is basically what happens is, we'll get into it a little bit later, but in spring they move the Madonna, which is this festival is centered around.
Yeah, but that's really the second part of the feast, but that's okay.
That's the second part, really?
Yeah, because she lives at the other church.
Oh, I always thought that was like the beginning of it.
No.
But anyway, so there's a spring part of this festival, and then there's the summer part, and it has to do around the Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story of the Madonna, I'll turn it over to Paul for the story of the Madonna.
Now, we're talking about like the Blessed Mother of Jesus Christ, not the singer.
Darn it. And like every good story, it starts with a shepherd boy.
That's right. Just like Christmas carols. So it's called the Madonna of Sovereto. Sovereto. S-O-V-E-R-E-T-O. Steve will spell it out for you in his liner notes or whatever they're called.
Show notes.
Show notes. Sorry, show notes. It's showtime. So the Madonna of Sovereto. There's a little hamlet down the road from Tolizzi, from the main part of the town. The hamlet is part of Tolizzi now. It's like, 2.5 miles from the center of town, 3 miles from the center of town.
And it was just listed as one of the top most beautiful villages to visit in Italy, right?
Right.
I'll link to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, not villages, like hamlets or like quarters or something. It's tiny.
It was way up there, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's like literally 30 inhabitants,
yeah.
50 maybe.
It is actually very cute.
Yeah, it's a medieval. It's a medieval borgo, a burg, a hamlet. There's a sanctuary there from the late year 1000, like 1090, something like that. So, what happened there? Oh, and it was also a site. Some people dispute it. Some people believe it. Of the Knights Templar. What they don't dispute is part of the little sanctuary complex was a home, Templar terms. I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, of the Ospedaliers, which were knights who were around the same time as the Templars. I think they were sort of like assistants. Somebody help me out on this back home. Send me a note. who then became, you know, the Knights Templar then became the Knights of St. John, which then became the Knights of Malta, which then, it's going to sound really silly, are you ready for it? Which then became the Knights of Columbus.
Really?
Yes, it's true. It's all true. It's all true. So anyway, the home of Knights Templar, the homes, wherever they lived or stayed, is called a domus. Domus, like domicile. So anyway, back to Sovereto. Sovereto is this little hamlet near the town of Telizzi, here in Puglia, near Bari. And this beautiful little church, in the sacristy, they've uncovered these frescoes that they say, and I believe them, some people don't, they say are proof that the Knights Templar were there, because there were frescoes on the walls that, you know, were deep under all the paint of, obviously, crosses, the cross of St. John, which was the cross of the Templars, or the cross of Jerusalem, because the Knights Templar went to Jerusalem to free the Temple of Solomon. There's also frescoes of checkerboards. Checkerboards, I guess, were another symbol of the Knights Templar, along with, you know, the sun and the stars and the figure eight, which is like their big number for the Templars. So I guess before this church existed, it was all pasture land. It was just, you know, grazing land. And a little boy is tending to his sheep, and he loses one of his sheep. And he goes looking for the sheep, and suddenly he finds the sheep. He hears it first, I guess, and then finds it. And one of its back legs is stuck in this hole in the ground. So the little boy goes over to his sheep, pulls and pulls on the sheep's back leg, and pulls and pulls. And finally, he extricates the sheep's back leg from this hole, and the hole opens up a little bit wider, and the little boy sees something down inside. He spots, you know, a cave with maybe some light coming out of it or something. I don't know. And so he finds the opening to the cave, goes in, and finds this pretty amazing painting of a black Madonna. You know, the thing is maybe...
Wait, now explain that, because what do you mean by black Madonna?
Well, her skin tone is dark. You know, it's more...
Like more Arab? Like,
well, yeah, more, well, of course. Hello, oh, she was a Jew.
That's what I was... I mean, yeah. I've never heard that... I don't know.
Well, they were
that term.
They're basically like Middle Eastern, okay. North African.
Okay.
And back in Byzantine times, they had a lot of black Madonnas that they were painting around the Mediterranean. So yeah, she was darker than she was white. I mean, you know, today's paintings of her are all like, you know, you can't tell her from Little Bo Peep.
Exactly. That's fine. Yeah.
So he finds this painting. It's only like a foot tall by a foot wide. You know, beautiful painting of a Madonna holding the baby Jesus. So the child, of course, takes the painting, brings it to his parents. The parents bring it to the local priest, and you hear, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what they heard. But
by the way, real quick, isn't this very similar to how the Dead Sea Scrolls were supposedly found?
No, I don't think it was a shepherd at all.
Was it? I thought it was like a shepherd or a goat herder or somebody.
Or maybe it was
them.
A goat herder. They're two different things, though, Stephen. All right, don't confuse us.
Very similar. No. The shepherds, whatever that... I thought, anyway. Mm. And that was very similar.
They're all the same story, actually.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
yeah,
the story of Jesus has been told 1,000 times. So, of course, you know, the local town is going crazy because, you know, they found this miraculous icon of a Madonna. Terlizzi lays claim to the icon. At the same time, because the hamlet of Sovereto wasn't really owned by anyone yet, the neighboring town, much bigger, of Bitonto, also lays claim to it, saying, no, that's our miracle painting. Terlizzi says, no, it's our miracle painting. Let's go to war. And someone says, no, let's not go to war. That's silly. Why go to war? Let's do this. We'll put it on a wagon.
This is so much better than war.
Yes, it is. I know. So we'll put it on a wagon, and we'll tie the wagon to two oxen. One ox will be from Terlizzi. The other ox will be from Bitonto. Now, both ox will want to go home. So, obviously, one ox will be pulling towards Telitzi, and the other one will be pulling towards Bitonto. Whichever ox is the strongest and pulls the wagon to their respective towns, that's who the painting is going to belong to. So, they put the Madonna on a wagon, they hitch the oxen to the wagon, and the oxen start walking along, plodding along. And, of course, the ox from Bitonto is much stronger. He comes from a bigger city. He's fed better. And he's pulling the wagon towards Bitonto. So they get close to the border of Bitonto, and suddenly the ox from Terlizzi turns around towards the ox from Bitonto and gouges its eye out. This bloody mess, his eye is dangling, falling out of this poor ox's head. The Bitonto ox now is stupefied. He doesn't know where he is or what he's doing. And the ox from Terlizzi happily pulls the cart to Terlizzi.
It's a miracle.
Dun, da, da, da. Yeah. Dun, da, da. So the no war, and majestic Madonna comes to Terlizzi. So they build a sanctuary for it in Sobereto that is actually built above the supposed cave where the little boy found the painting.
Oh, I know that part.
Yeah, it's cool. There's actually a metal grate in the church. You open up the metal grate and you can walk down into this little cave. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So that's the story of the Madonna Sobereto.
And actually, to this day,
On
the float, we'll get to a little bit on the float.
It's not a float. Jesus Christ. It's not a festival and it's not a float.
What is it then?
It's a triumphal cart.
Otherwise known as a float.
It's not a float.
In America, it's known as a float.
Jesus, it doesn't have Snoopy on it.
It's close to it. It has singing kids on it.
Kids don't sing.
They don't?
No.
Although they sing.
No.
If this was in the Macy's Day Parade, it would be a float. Anyway, we'll get into the float.
If it was a Macy's Day Parade, it would be motorized, which brings us to the next part of this.
But on the front of this, whatever would you call it?
Cart.
Is the actual the heads of the oxen, and one of them has this bloody eye on the front of it, symbolizing this story.
That's right. Yeah. But now, the cart that they build it every year, so they have to dismantle it and rebuild it, only for one reason. They can't store it anywhere, because it's literally, we have to find out exactly how many meters tall it is.
Yeah.
But it's literally from from the ground to the top of the cross that's on top of it, easily six stories tall.
Okay, I was going to say five. Yeah.
I say six stories tall. I mean, it's massive.
It's huge.
It is really huge. Now, the original cart, or the cart that they had been wheeling around the town for this feast for at least 100 years, was burned down one year, I think in the 1970s, by the local mafia.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun,
the Black Hand. Burned down the cart. I don't know why they burned it down. It was probably a carpenter's union strike or something. But they burned down the original one, and then they had to rebuild another one just like the original one. And this time they were pretty smart, because they built it, all the sides, the actual structure, there's a wooden skeleton made, with pretty big beams. But the rest of it, all the panels are made of canvas, painted canvas, so that it's not as heavy as it used to be. But now, it's not, so they take this cart and they put all their, trinkets and trash on it, all the little angels, the putti lights, the big cross on top of it, painted, beautiful colors. I was going to say garish. Beautiful colors, gold leaf, all that stuff. And there are stairs in front of it. So it's sort of like walking up the steps to this big tower behind it. And on these steps, they sit about 50 or 60 young kids.
Dogs are barking.
So they sit about 50 or 60 young kids on this cart. And then they put about 40 men under the cart. and four men at the front of it, and they push and pull this cart all around the town. No motors, no engines, nothing. It's done manually, and it's done for about 5 hours through the town of Telitzi on the first weekend in August every year.
And you forgot to mention, I mean, the Madonna now is on top of
Yes, the Madonna, you can hardly see it. It's like the size of a postage stamp.
Because,
like
tiny.
I said, it's like a foot by a foot.
Yeah.
And it's six stories above the crowd this cart.
The first time I saw it, I kept thinking, where's the Madonna? Where's that? And they had to point it. I'm like, I still don't see
it. Well, the only way you see it is because, of course, they've built this, I don't know what you call them, it's sort of like an altar kind of thing around it that it's encased in, which is like solid gold thing. It really is spectacular.
Yeah.
But it is also like the feast is right out of The Godfather.
Oh yeah.
I mean, no doubt about it. The whole town gets lit up with these, you know, really bright lights and arches and all these things, and music's playing, and the local bands are playing. And they sit these 50 kids on it as they're going through town. And as they pass by all these, you know, old homes from the 1700s, 1600s, even earlier, all the people are out on their balconies waving and cheering because they're Madonna. It is, I mean, they really do see it as their Madonna. Their Madonna is going to come by their balcony, their window, their front door. And all these kids are sitting on, and the people on their first floor and second floor balconies. First floor, by the way, in Italy is one floor up. It's not the ground floor. There's a ground floor, first floor, second floor. So they're on their balconies, and they throw candy at the children sitting on the cart. And you say, isn't that sweet? That's so cute. But no, they whip hard candy at these kids' heads, basically. So kids come home crying and bruised and stuff. But, it's pretty funny.
But the guys underneath, I mean, we had a couple friends who did it, and it's, I mean, they are drenched in sweat. And
yeah,
like,
it is hot under there because there's also a big apron around the bottom of it, so you can't really see them. You just see their feet.
Yeah.
And they are pushing this six-story structure with 50 kids sitting on it.
I mean, they do stop every 20 yards. Sometimes it's a little excruciating how slow it goes.
Yeah.
But because people, I don't know why, decide that they have to be in the middle of the street to watch this event.
Because they're Italian.
I know.
Italians walk in the middle of the street. This is Telitzi is the town where people walk in the street and the cars go on the sidewalk.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But here, actually, that we found out this year, we kept wondering, it seems awfully late, and Paul actually found out it was an hour and a half delayed because they could not get people off of the street in order to move the structure down the road.
Because, you know, something like 50,000 additional people come to the town for the festival. For the feast. Oh my God, I said festival.
Uh-huh, see.
For the feast. And also the reason it goes so slowly, and, you know, the guys who are under there, it's really, really hot. So what are they doing under there? Drinking beers.
Yes, every stop they get
like
a new beer.
Every stop they get fresh beers. The people bring them fresh beers. And when you drink that much beer, what do you got to do? You got to pee. How do they pee? They have wide mouth jars, and they pee in them.
You didn't tell. I don't need to know this part.
Yes, they do.
Now, did you get into a little bit about? I don't know. I was calling the dogs in about the actual the guy steering the thing.
No, there are, I think, four guys steering it. One head guy, and three assistants. I guess they're dressed in, you know, traditional garb. It looks like something if you've ever seen like pictures of people from Corsica or Sicily, like kind of silly hats and big poofy pants and a red belt around, you know, sort of a sash. So they kind of look like pirates without the eye patch or the parrot. So they steer this thing. There's like a giant rudder at the front of it.
Yeah.
It's called a timone. Right.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're called timonieri because they are, you know, guiding this thing. But, you know, the guy who is going to be the head timoniere, I think he pays like 15,000 euro for that privilege.
So crazy.
For that privilege. And then I think he also, out of that money, they have to give a little bit of money to all the people pushing and pulling the cart.
Well, I thought the people who were pushing the cart also paid to be part of it.
Maybe that's what it is. I forget.
I thought they paid a little bit
too. Maybe they pay him so he can pay whatever it is.
Maybe he's like the... Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he kind of collects his own people to do it.
But it is... I mean, you won't see another festival like it anywhere.
No, it's crazy.
Probably in the world.
I mean, especially the, like turning the corners.
They have to put gravel down at this corner when it comes back into the main square, like the big triumphal entry into the main square. And the main square, by the way, in Terlizzi, is nothing short of spectacular. It has this gigantic tower, watchtower, that is probably 10 stories tall, right? Nine stories tall?
Yeah.
With a huge clock on it. The clock obviously was put on later because it's a Norman tower. The Normans built it in the 1100s.
And it's the largest backlit clock tower in Europe after Big Ben.
Not the clock tower. It's the largest backlit clock.
Okay.
In all of Europe after Big Ben. Look it up. It's on Wikipedia. Yes. Not that Wikipedia always tells the truth, but that's where it is.
If it's on Wikipedia, it's got to be true.
Exactly. So when the cart makes its like real triumphal entry into the square, and you know, all the music's playing and the fireworks go off, it's coming down this slight, not incline, what's the opposite of incline?
Hill.
Descent.
Decline.
And it has to turn at the last minute. It's very narrow. So because the thing is so big and it's just on wooden wheels with all these people under it, they have to break it, you know, they have to put on the brake before it makes the turn, otherwise it'll just fall over.
And actually, no, the guys actually, in that sense, they push it for like 5 seconds, and then they all turn around and
push it backward.
Back up.
Right.
So the weight of it literally just carries it down the hill.
Right.
I've seen them do it. And I remember them, when they were doing, they were coming by the little leaders and telling everybody, remember, you only push it for a little bit, and then you turn around and push it the other way. And it's because they basically had to like, all these guys had to stop this 6 foot structure from crashing.
6 foot, six story.
Yeah, six story.
That's crashing like, that's like Spinal foot. Tap. Remember when Spinal Tap, when they said they wanted to build the Stonehenge on the tip? We wanted to be 16 feet. And the guy read the hash marks wrong. He built a 16 inches. So at the bottom of this descent of the street, just before it turns, they also have to put down like a few inches of gravel so that it'll help the tires not skid.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, it's really, really treacherous. And they have all these auxiliary police with cords holding the crowds back because, you know, some people can get crushed up against the walls.
I almost got my head bashed in 1 year.
Yes.
Steven
was almost crying. He was so pissed off. Oh, my God.
Because Paul went way ahead of me in the crowd, and I got trapped. And the stupid thing is coming, and I'm like being pushed up against the rope. I literally turned around and
there's only like a foot between him and between the cart and the wall behind him.
And it wasn't even, and I ducked just in time. I looked. I literally would have gotten my head bashed in by this stupid structure. I was so mad. I was not a happy camper that year.
But anyway, it comes into the main square, and it's triumphant. And you know, any people that we bring there, we say, you know, you got to come to this festival, to this feast. You got to see this cart. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, you know, some people say, you know, I think we're going to go home now. And it's like, no, just got to wait. Just another 20 minutes. It's going to come around the corner. It's going to come around the corner. And it comes around the corner, and everybody to a person is like, holy cow, look at the size of that thing. It looks like the Marshmallow Man in Ghostbusters coming around, because it looks like one of the buildings is moving.
Yeah,
because you don't see anything. You just see this big building on the corner, and all of a sudden, a piece of it is like moving out from it. It's like, oh my God, the building's moving. Oh no, it's the cart.
It's crazy.
It's really awesome.
And it's also cool because it's just a community thing. It happens every year. And the lights, again, like Paul said, they put up these lights that they do this with pretty much all the religious festivals around here. The lights are just really beautiful, and they change every year to different designs and different colors, but it's really, it's a beautiful...
And what's also cool is, you know, Terlizzi is known for its butcher shops and its meat. And, you know, they have, like, really great meat here and great butcher shops. So all the butcher shops for the entire weekend, because the feast lasts a whole weekend. So that's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You know, they have a live concert one night, the whole thing. But all the butcher shops, they put out these huge barbecues outside their shops and tables and chairs. So every butcher shop becomes like an outdoor restaurant where the butcher is barbecuing the meat for you, you know, right out in the middle of the street. And it's thousands of people, you know, just on sitting on the sidewalk eating meat.
So
everybody
good.
Wants
it's
meat.
It's so good. We'll have to get into that sometime. And the meat is here. It's just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And especially for this feast, they make this, well, they have it all the time, but it's more known for the feast. They make this delicacy, which is made of offal, not A-W, but O-F-F-A-L. It's basically what, I guess, the southern U.S. version of chitlins. It's basically a little piece of liver or sweetbreads with some parsley, some other stuff in it. Not much else. It's just really parsley and wrapped in cleaned out animal gut intestine. And then it's barbecued until it's crispy, and then you eat them. And you go to heaven.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It sounds gross. I know it sounds really gross, but it's really,
really
good.
Not. It's like they're, I don't like popcorn livers instead of popcorn shrimp. Right. What you call
and it is called, you know, so the whole feast is called the Festa Maggiore because they have so many feasts. Like this is the major feast.
Yeah. Okay, so then I want to get, so then this was kind of the beginning. Then you're saying then.
Oh, so,
because,
so okay.
Because I think the other part of it's actually really kind of cool, too. In the spring, then, so it lives at...
Okay, well the reason they do this, though, hold on, there's another step in it. Okay. So the reason they do it is, you know, they bring the big cart with this, you know, icon of the Madonna in front of the cathedral. They bring it to the cathedral square, and, you know, all hell breaks loose, fireworks and bands and people weeping and crying and cheering, because the Madonna has come back to their cathedral. So they take the Madonna off the cart and they bring it into the cathedral. And that's where she's going to stay until April 23rd. So on April 23rd, we have another feast. And it's the feast of the Madonna of Sovereto again. First of all, on April 23rd, she's also known as the Madonna of the Water. Because on April 23rd, no matter how beautiful the weather has been leading up to it and how beautiful the weather is going to be after it, on the afternoon of April 23rd, every year, without question, it's going to rain on your parade.
Yes.
And every year, it rains.
This year, I will say, was an exception. This is the first time I've seen it.
Really?
I don't think it did this year.
I think it did. I think there was a little bit of rain.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It rains every year. Anyway, she's called the Madonna of the Water.
But because, basically
maybe it's not every single year, but more often than not.
No, it is actually. No, he's pretty correct. It's every time I've been here, except for this year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and of course, you know, at the beginning of the feast, even with the, you know, the Festa Maggiore, they have a little boy dressed up as a shepherd boy with a little long-haired sheep who leads the whole thing because he's
the
star of the show.
I'll include some pictures and hopefully some video in the show notes. I might follow up with the video depending on how long it takes me to edit the film.
You should also add some of Maria Panzini's pictures.
Yeah, her pictures are great.
Her pictures are beautiful. There's a photographer here in Telizzi by the name of Maria Panzini, who has done a beautiful photographic history of the cart. Yeah. Speaking of which, we also have to go to the museum in town, Stephen, to see the actual history of the cart.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, the whole story is there. So on April 23rd, they now have to bring the Madonna back to Sovereto, to its rightful resting place, where she was found, where she supposedly lives.
But you know, she actually lives in Sovereto less than she does in Telizzi. April, May, June, July, 5 months.
Yeah. So she lives, it's okay.
Anyway. Just pointing out, sorry.
All right, so I don't know where she claims. I don't know where she claims a residency or where she pays her taxes, but she's going back home to Sovereto.
Sorry, I'm being
So they take the icon out of her, you know, private chapel in the big cathedral, and they bring it out of the cathedral, and as soon as they do, the older women dressed in black are screaming and crying, and they're on their knees. They actually walk up the stairs of the cathedral on their knees, wailing, crying, because the Madonna is leaving.
We have to get this next year because I don't have I've never seen this and I want to get a video. This would be great.
So you know, and you know, she's leaving. She's going 2 miles away, 3 miles away, but she's leaving. She's leaving the cathedral. So and this time, because she's leaving, they kind of give her the bum's rush. You know, they don't no big cart. No big, you know, bands and lights and all that stuff. No, nothing. She gets nothing. She's going. We don't care. Goodbye. Tuh. So what they do is they put her on this small, well, I guess what you used to call in the old days, sedan, which, you know, four or I guess six or eight men are carrying on their shoulders. And the big icon is there in all her gold encrusted glory. And with the little shepherd boy and his sheep leading the bunch, and they also have all these groups of men who belong to confraternities, you know, the confraternity of the Sacred Heart, the confraternity of you know, the Madonna Addolorata, all these different ones, and they're all dressed in different sort of altar boyish outfits, very medieval kind of thing with big medallions on their chest.
Very
sort of
similar
like scapulars.
To the pictures, if you look in the show notes from the Easter, it's probably very similar. Right?
Yeah. It's the same confraternities.
Yeah.
And they bring the Madonna on their shoulders back to Sovereto, 3 miles, with the entire frigging town following them. Yes. I mean, the entire town walks 3 miles to Little Sovereto. Uh-huh. They put her back into her sanctuary. And then all hell breaks loose, parties, drinking.
But I really like this part of the
feast.
But this one is not as much as the feast. For me, it's fascinating because it's between Terlizzi and Sovereto is literally a straight line. And it's 3 miles, you're saying?
Yeah, it's about 3 miles.
Yeah. And they literally shut down this street and literally...
It's not just
town.
A street, it's really a road.
A road. Yeah. It's a pretty major road.
Yeah.
Paved road. And literally, I won't say they all follow the cart, but the entire...
There's no cart.
Or whatever it is, the
sedan.
They don't necessarily all follow it, but at some point, I would say a good 80 to 90% of the town makes the journey from Terlizzi to Sovereto, walking that 3 miles. And everybody is—it's a very much a community thing. You like see people just saying hi to each other. It's one. Think of it as a giant block party for your entire city.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it is. It's for this whole three mile stretch is just full of people. It's to me, it's kind of insane, but also so cool that it's still such a part of the community.
And all the people who have houses along that road, they have these little standalone houses. You know, most people in Italy don't live in standalone houses. Most people in Italy live in apartments. We call them apartments. They're actually the original condominiums. But people in Italy who live in apartments never refer to their house as an apartment. They refer to it as their house. So their house is usually an apartment. A standalone house, as we know them in America, is a villa. So it could be small, it could be big, doesn't matter, but it's a villa. Or a villetta. Villetta is a smaller one, usually a summer house. But all the people who have these residences along that road, the Terlizzi-Sovereto road, they all throw parties for their whole family and friends. And you can actually go from house to house during the entire day, you know, drinking and eating, and you know, it's a great party.
It's actually I love it. I the whole concept to me is just very fascinating, and I mean, I'm not necessarily exaggerating where it's a 3 mile block just full of people. I have pictures. Hopefully, it does it justice. I don't know if it does, but you can just see the whole road is just full of people, and it's just kind of cool to me that it's literally the whole town just comes out. It's just part of there, and it, literally the whole town shuts down, by the way, too, no matter what day it is.
We'll have to bring the drone next year.
Yes, that would be
show.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't matter what day it is either. It could be a Tuesday, it could be Wednesday, Friday, whatever it is. The town shuts down.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think there's probably one business that's maybe open. And everybody just shuts down to do this festival.
The highlight of this year's April feast was... We went to visit a friend of ours whose in-laws own this, old noble villa along the road. They are nobility. Original Spanish nobility. You know, the Spaniards ruled here for a while, and they have this old villa, along the side of the road here. It's kind of dilapidated, it's run down. There's no great shakes, but the whole family was sitting in there having lunch, and we spoke to the counts or the barons. Sorry, the baron's ancestor. And he said, do you want to see the house? I said, sure, I'd love to. So he takes us downstairs into the basement. And, we're looking at the basement, all the old, wine barrels and all that stuff. And then he suddenly takes us into this one room. We go into it, and there are all these drawings on the wall of this room in the basement of this old villa. And it's paintings of Popeye, yes. Olive Oil, Brutus, and all these other like cartoon characters, what the hell is going on here?
It was so strange.
And then on one wall is a row of two rows of names.
With
printed out, almost stenciled, but nicely printed out. So what it was were these were drawings of famous cartoon characters. I think one of them might even be Betty Boop or someone like that. Famous cartoon characters that were drawn by English troops who were stationed in Terlizzi during World War II, and they were stationed in that house. So they were down, I guess the enlisted men were down in the basement of this nobleman's little villa in the countryside, while the captains and the others were upstairs, but they were downstairs, and they painted all these characters on the walls, and then the two rows of names are the names of all these British servicemen who were stationed there during the war.
Yeah, I want to
look them
up.
It's really, really cool.
We want to look them up. We never have a chance.
I'll
post pictures in
really
the
cool.
show notes.
It's really, really cool.
No, look at the show notes, because the pictures are really, it's really cool spot.
Yeah. Enough of the feast.
Yes. I think we're good. So thank you guys for listening.
Thank you for listening to our story of the Feast Festival,
yes.
Whatever it is, of the Madonna of Sovereto.
And join all of our adventures at Villa Capelli everywhere, as I always say, on Facebook, Instagram. Be sure if you log on to villacapelli.com, you'll see a link to the podcast. That'll have all the show notes. There's a link in there to stay at the villa if you're interested in that. And while you're there, you could purchase some olive oil and other goodies. Please be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That's the way you keep up with all of us, with all these episodes, anything else. Oh, and I just started a new Facebook group we're having a lot of fun with. So all you guys want to join, that is called Italian Food and Travel Tips and Tricks. So look us up there. We're having a lot of fun in that group. And that's about it. Spread the word, let everybody know about us, and we would appreciate it. And I think that's it.
Okay.
All right.
That's it for us.
Thank you, guys.
Arrivederci. Ciao. Buonanotte. Buon estate.